That's Ric Flair right there. Now, people might not know who pro wrestler Ric Flair is. If you're certainly not into pro wrestling, you might not know. But you probably have heard this at sporting events. You know, it's played in a lot of arenas and a lot of stadiums after a team does something really cool. And a lot of the players have taken up to doing it after they, you know, score a touchdown or score a goal or hit a home run or something. They do the Ric Flair. Yeah, and that's what he would do. That's what he would do during matches and after a match and before a match.
I think he probably did that every time he looked at his hair when he was done doing his hair. He probably looked at his hair and said,
So Ric Flair was a big-time wrestler in the 1970s and 80s and into the 90s a little bit, too. And right now he's closing in on 70 years of age. He nearly died a few weeks ago or a few months ago.
He was at the door.
He had failed organs, and in fact, I thought he was reported as dead, but he's survived, and it's remarkable given the amount of drinking that he did and everything else that he is still around.
Yeah, the doctor that asked him, "Are you a heavy drinker?" and they're like, "Describe heavy drinking." He's like, "Every day? For how long?"
Yeah, you'll hear some of this. Last night, ESPN did a 30 for 30 on Ric Flair's life, and they interviewed him before he got sick. They did this like about 2 years ago, and they by the way, that woo that he does, he said that came from Jerry Lee Lewis. He said he loved Jerry Lee Lewis, and he thought he would just incorporate that into his thing. So
you'd think with all that money and everything, all that celebrity, he'd get those teeth fixed.
Who?
Ric Flair.
Well, he doesn't have really bright. I didn't notice. I would have thought he didn't have really, really good teeth.
They're just crooked.
Oh.
Oh, they're whack.
Well, he probably had his mouth smashed open.
Probably.
More than a few times, you know. So it's a lot about the drinking, and it's a lot about the women. So let's go right to that stuff. Now, when he would be doing his wrestling TV shows, he would, in those interviews, you know, where he'd be bragging and saying this, that, and the other thing, he would tell you what town they were in, and he would tell you what hotel he was staying in, and he would invite the women over. Now, this is a married guy. And he would
been married like four times.
He's married four times. He would honestly say what hotel he was staying in. This was ladies, come and get me, let's go. And his wife would be watching this back at home. And she would see this on TV, and he would try to. So you're going to hear from his wife at the time. I think this is his first wife, and then you'll hear from him. And he would try to brush. Oh, that's just TV stuff.
That's showmanship.
With the women and drinking and partying, and that took over because it was more fun, and that was his personality.
Why are you telling everybody you're going to be at the Marriott?
I don't know. Nobody believes us, honey. Don't worry. Nobody comes over.
Why aren't you wearing your wedding ring on TV?
I don't know. Let me tell you something. If you're wrestling and you're in Hutchinson, Kansas, and you're going to spend the night there, I'm going to find something to do. I'm not going through that night by myself.
I'm going to find something to do.
How many women?
How many women do you think you've been with?
Realistically, 10,000 maybe. Isn't that terrible?
10 grand. 10,000 women.
I don't, you know, did Wilt say he had 10,000 or?
20.
Wilt said he had $20,000 women. Somebody did the math on all this, and it seems impossible, but this guy was like Wilt. He was on the road every night for, you know, 30 some odd years.
The thing that gets me is, like, you see him, he's pretty good shape. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He's. When did he find time to work out? If he was drinking and screwing this much, when are you working out?
He said he worked out every day. Hey, but give him some credit. He tried monogamy.
Why do you think you couldn't be monogamous? Did you try to be monogamous and you just couldn't do it? Like, did you ever say to yourself, this is it. I am going to be married. I'm not going to cheat.
No, I didn't. I probably took it real serious for about a day.
A day.
Yeah, I just, there's no way. I mean, I've tried, but it just was miserable.
Now, in 1989, now to get to the drinking. So, yes, it was women every night, and he was getting loaded every single night too. Yet he was also working out every day. He never, this guy must not have had a free second. I mean,
yeah,
every second, there was no sitting on the couch and watching cable TV for this guy. He talks about a 1989 appointment he had with a sports psychologist. And the sports psychologist asked him about how much he drinks.
And so how much do you drink a day? I said, I'll drink at least 10 beers and probably 5 mixed drinks. He said, well, how many days a week do that? I said, every day. He said, well, what do you mean every day? I said, I work every day. I drink the beer in the car, I get to the hotel, and I drink vodka. He came out of his chair like that. You drink every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you've been doing that for how long? I said, well, let me see, it's 1989. I started in 72. You do the math, almost 20 years. He said, that's not possible. I said, oh, yeah, it is. By the time I got through with that son of a bitch, he was laying on the couch and I was in the chair talking to him.
and here's a story, just one real brief story about the volume of drinking that Ric Flair would do. This is told by a wrestling broadcaster who used to pal around with Ric Flair back in the day.
You know, we were in some little town and we were staying at a Holiday Inn, and we went to the bar after the show, after the TV taping, in the hotel. There might have been 10 people in the bar. Had one server, he ordered 137 kamikazes.
Now, 137 in how many hours?
Hold on.
That's there, like Andre the Giant numbers.
Yeah, now there were 10 people in the bar. Now he was ordering kamikazes for every. He was ordering. Now I don't know how many he drank. Now what was the number? Did he say 137?
137.
Okay, so
that's 13 apiece.
Everybody had at least
a dozen.
At least a dozen. and I'm thinking he probably had more than his dozen,
yeah,
since he was springing for the whole thing. So that's a night with Ric Flair right there. 30 for 30, Ric Flair. It's running this month on ESPN, and those are the fun parts. Those are the fun parts.
Oh, that's a part.
A lot of it is very sad.
Well, I mean, his son and that kind of stuff, you know, gets into it. And then, like, the first wife that he talked to, I saw one little clip where she said he'd come home from the road and said, this is miserable. I hate this. And he'd go over to his friend's house where his girlfriend was staying, and he would just shack up over there with his girlfriend. He ended up married her.
He'd drive 2 miles down the road to that guy's house where his girlfriend was stationed. And there they'd go. And that one didn't last either. No, that didn't last either. The life of a pro wrestler, pretty similar to the life of a rock and roll star. The outfits and the hair. But those guys were just physically abusing their body as the stuntmen that they are. You watch that stuff and you're like, oh, my God.
They ask, is it fake? And he goes, it's not fake. It's choreographed, but it's not fake.
No. I mean, they're stuntmen. You wouldn't go up to a stuntman and say, you know, what you do isn't that difficult. So you run through a fake window or whatever the case might be. There's falling. There's jump. You know, there's bad. You got to know how to land, and you got to. That is a
brutal. Got to be able to take a chair.
That's a brutal. It's a brutal.
A table.
It's a brutal business. You know. All right, so more of that coming up in the trash a little later on this morning on the Brad and John Show.